Hi, I'm Shadow Stevens. While I'm doing this and that and the other thing at the very same time, I'm having a great time on The Jeremiah Show, the greatest show in the history of the world. For the love of God, subscribe. No, seriously, subscribe.
It's The Jeremiah Show. Tearing back the curtain on music icons, pop culture, and food gods, we're bringing you the hottest guests from around the globe with your music business authority, LA personal development commentator, Mike Gormley. The Jeremiah Show is sound designed by master sound engineer, Dr. D. He's a restaurant and bar fixer. He's opened and fixed over 200 restaurants, bars, and hotels. He's a partner with legendary drummer Mick Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac in Fleetwood's on Front Street in Maui. And he's your radio host. Step aside, Superman, from A Race Around the Sun, Jeremiah Higgins.
Welcome to The Jeremiah Show, Dr. D. You know what they say? You know that saying that all good things come to those who wait.
Yeah, I've also heard the other one.
How's it going? How have you heard it?
Well, that's the one that you're, that's okay. All good things come to those who wait. And the other is, no good deed ever goes unpunished.
the second one always seems to apply to me. But the first one, we have a very special guest here in studio today. And it was no small feat to get him here.
Mm-hmm.
I had to pick up his feet, actually.
Oh, you're drinking again.
I'm not going to say his name yet.
Okay.
But our guest today, I'm going to tease our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about a special segment, a special correspondent, him coming on as what he is. And uh-huh. that is? Mr. Restaurant.
Ooh.
We've been talking about this for, I don't know, 3 years, maybe longer. But today is the day. Finally, we have our very special guest in studio, Mr. Will Knox. He's the founder of the Knox Company. He's a restaurant broker and a restaurant consultant. He specializes in restaurant real estate and concept development. Let me just throw out a couple of the high-profile restaurants you may have heard of. I bet you have. That Will was involved in. Spago, the Border Grill, one of my very favorite places on the planet, Moza, Public School 310, Nick's in Beverly Hills, love Nick's, used to go there all the time, the AOC, Hard Rock Cafe, Morton Steakhouse, Pink Taco, Lemonade, I could go on and on. Do you see why we call him Mr. Restaurant?
Wait a minute, Pink Taco?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That was my takeaway.
I would suggest you not go there.
Nothing gets past you,
okay.
Dr. D.
Moving right along.
You're kind of like that Beavis and Butthead. You know, he would always pop in on the stupid stuff, the bad jokes. Anyway, so let me tell you about the man, though. I've known him for probably 3 years or plus now. One of the very best experiences I've had in a long while was right after COVID. I went. I was invited by Mr. Restaurant to Ojai, his hometown now. And we took a walking tour of all the best restaurants in Ojai. 2, 3, 4 hours. Tried a lot of food.
Two of the restaurants? No, just kidding.
Oh, by the way, welcome to the show, Will Knox, Mr. Restaurant.
Thank you, Jeremiah.
I just want you, the voice that you hear comes from Mr. Restaurant. And not to get off, I want to go back to Ojai, but listen to that voice. I mean, that's a voice made
what,
for radio.
From the purpleness of the grotto?
That voice is made for the restaurant.
Oh,
or, excuse me, for the radio. So that walking tour of Ojai, God, you really were Mr. Restaurant, and you knew everybody, and I just love that. It was just such a fun experience. It was a great day, and you haven't done a walking tour of all 2 restaurants in Ojai, and ate there, and drank, and checked them out, and met the people that run these great restaurants in that little town. You got to do it.
Well, it's a happening scene in Ojai, I must tell you. We'll get into that a little later. But, you know, since I've moved there permanently in 2016, I've been fortunate to be involved in some deal-making up there, which I never thought I'd do. And the culinary scene is definitely on the up and up. So we'll get into that as we progress.
Yeah, great spots. And there's an...
And thank you for including me today.
Yep, thank you for being here.
And Richard, thank you for putting up with me.
Hey, it's a pleasure.
I appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure.
I know that before we get started into the real business here, you guys wanted to talk about Adele, because you can't wait to bring in Adele. So this is another one of those shows I'll let Adele in. And then, are you a fan?
I really became a fan last week when I saw the show that she did at Griffith Park. Ugh. That was phenomenal.
I didn't see it.
You should bring it up. Stream it. Do something. Adele, she was promoting her new album and I guess her new look, right, mm-hmm. Richard?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, our show should be that produced. Would that not be phenomenal?
It was phenomenal. Right in front of the Griffith Park Observatory. Yeah. And it was a gathered, select crowd. And she, needless to say, is a phenomenal performer. Mm-hmm. And she looks wonderful. She's reduced a lot of weight. Mm-hmm. And, the weight works for or against whatever. But her voice, her timbre is just wonderful. But the production in front of the Griffith Park Observatory, I've never seen. I've been in L.A. for many, many years, probably too many. But nonetheless, it is a wonderful show, and her work is great.
Yeah. The projections on the walls.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. It's not like it's never been done before, but it was just the combination of everything. And then they had that very special moment with the couple where he proposed to her. That was a very cool.
Put the bachelor to shame.
Yeah, he actually was able to make this happen. The girlfriend didn't even know. The fiance did not even know where she was because the whole audience stayed quiet and everything. And all of a sudden, the blindfold takes off. It's like, and she just, it was great. And then of course Adele sings a song for him, and that was a phenomenal evening. I loved watching that. And then of course the interview that she did.
Yes.
But one of the things that I find so fascinating is about musicians that we have regularly on this program, and we talk about this all the time, Jeremiah, about their source of inspiration, which is 9 times out of 10, what makes a hit song is because it comes from the heart and the gut, mm-hmm. In terms of what she's singing about,
I think that's what makes anything successful. You've got to have that passion.
Yeah.
And it resonates with those higher level performers, athletes, business people,
Mr. Restaurant.
They're into it.
Yeah. What about your
passion? And I want to talk about that because I think what you do is very special.
Thank
and what you.
You
bring to the game, the business,
what you brought into this
world of restaurants are some of the very best in the world.
I've been very fortunate. To be associated with these brands and learn from these operators as well. And
all that I want to talk about. But first, I want to make sure that Dr. Dean, did you get out of your system?
I'm good.
Are you good with Adele for a few more shows?
I will let it rest for at least 10.
Okay.
Okay. 10.
You know what?
We'll revisit that.
I wish for Richard, I'll call Richard Dick for a moment. He hates that.
He does.
Doesn't he?
Yeah.
I'll call
him. He wants to be a doctor.
Little
really.
Rich.
He doesn't want to work for the degree, but he wants to be the doctor.
Or maybe just Richard. Let's call him Richard. But for Richard, I hope one day you could actually get Adele either in this studio or remote. That would be my wish for you.
Or at least we can get you some concert tickets.
Oh, man.
And a t-shirt.
I'll tell you what. And it's...
You said you were finished.
It isn't just, and it isn't just her appearance. It is the sound, the passion, the emotion that comes out when she's singing these songs. I don't know how many of us in this room have been through a divorce. I have. And it's not fun. Even for a guy, it's not fun.
Even for a guy.
For her to reveal that in her music and others as well.
Yeah.
It's great stuff.
I'm still stuck on our shows should be produced that well. So if you drop the gauntlet, I'm just going to let you pick it up.
You're going to have to watch the video. You're going to have to go online and watch the video.
Well, it's a real treat.
Let's produce our shows that well. I haven't seen it, but I believe you.
I got to tell you, once you've seen it, you're going to go, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's enough reason for me to watch. The last thing I want to say about Adele, this is Will Knock. This
and
is Mr. Restaurant Show.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I always wonder when someone, for singers, I've never asked this question, but it seems like the vocalists who project and have these just amazing ranges, always, you think of the opera singers and you think of people with a little more weight, and I always wondered, does weight play into that fact? But probably not. It's probably more the vocal training.
Well, think about a a gal that might be 10 years old who really can belt it.
Right.
It's mm-hmm. amazing.
So it has nothing to do with it.
It's the timber.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she obviously, as you just stated, Jeremiah, talked about the training. So as she's losing the weight, she's still training, keeping right. that voice and going. And every artist does that. I'm sure that even... Like, what's the gal with Fleetwood Mac?
Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks. I mean, I'd heard many stories about the trouble she had as part of Fleetwood Mac with her voice, that she had to be real careful. She mm-hmm. wasn't all the time, but.
Yeah, I just always wondered if the air and the lung is in the, if it helps. But so I guess my strategy of gaining some weight so I sing better, it isn't working.
No.
It's going to work.
No, give that up.
Give that up. All right, let's go back to Mr. Restaurant. Will. Why Mr. Restaurant? Tell us about
how this all happened
and what you
the
what
trajectory
you, yeah,
to
what you
Mr.
envisioned. Yeah.
Well, one night not long ago when we were searching for some type of positioning for me to be a correspondent on your show, my son came up with the idea of, well, you know, people call you the restaurant guy or how about Mr. Restaurant, he says. And that stuck. And my wife, who's a branding expert, said, oh, I think that would be a great moniker for you to work with. So here we are, Mr. Restaurant. And I don't pretend to know it all. I've been around restaurants, fortunately, all my life. I grew up in San Francisco. And my favorite restaurant of all time is a restaurant called Trader Vic's.
Mm-hmm.
And as a youngster, my parents, you know, would take us there for special occasions. And it was in this little alley, you know, hidden in San Francisco. And Trader Vic's started out as a restaurant called Hinky Dinks in Oakland. Across the bay. And my dad and my mom used to go there when they were dating in the like college in the 40s. So Hinky Dinks became Trader Vic's in San Francisco, dark alley, kind of speakeasy type deal. And this restaurant was just phenomenal. It had different rooms, the captain's cabin or the bar, and everything was tiki oriented and Polynesian food. And they had these huge drums. And, you know, I'm 10 years old and I'm just transfixed by this.
Uh-huh.
And
I can imagine that.
And it was a phenomenal experience, you know, just like, you know, to hang out and go to Trader Vic's. And that really got me started, you know, around the restaurant world. And we were fortunate to be able to go out to eat mm-hmm. to begin with, you know. I can remember going to New Joe's in San Francisco and North Beach in the early 60s when the beatniks were actually happening, and sitting at the counter and getting a, you know, a burger, but their burger was on a long sourdough loaf, and the burger was long and thin, and it was just charred right on the grill and right in front of you, and the flame had come out, and, you know, juicy, and you know, it was a fabulous experience. So, you know, I just got exposed at an early age, and my mom was a great cook, very improvisational cook. And, you know, I love food. And sometimes it shows, sometimes it doesn't. But in essence,
Does it help your singing?
It doesn't help my singing whatsoever, unless I'm in the shower.
Okay.
And then the basso profondo comes around. So, you know, it's always been a fun experience. And I can remember even some years back, we were in a trip. On a trip to Martha's Vineyard, and I had a client who I knew who was from there. And the way that we worked our way around the vineyard was not so much to go to tourist points, but to go to restaurant points around the vineyard. And that way we were able to see and experience Martha's Vineyard because we were literally on point-to-point breakfast, lunch, dinner, and that way we get our way around. And traveling, I have found it's really great to have certain destinations, you know, in wherever you might be, that are well-known or not so well-known spots, and that gets you around the particular environment that you're traveling to.
Travel built around, well, good
culinary
restaurants or
right.
diners. Or,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I go to all of it. You know, in Japan once, you know, gosh, I'm dropping spaces and places, aren't I? You know,
that's I would say
that sound pretentious?
Not at all.
But I would say no. We're on this trip with you, Will.
That's
we're
right,
Mr. Restaurant.
Well, years ago, a client of mine, again in L.A., Chaya,
one of my favorites. By the way, was my favorite.
I had been speaking with them about a project, and I was in Tokyo, and they took me and my wife up to a ryokan, which is a Japanese style inn, about an hour and a half outside of Tokyo. And they had a lunch with their chef as well as the chef at the ryokan, kind of dueling chefs mm-hmm. for lunch. Mm-hmm. It was a phenomenal experience. And I can remember to this day, like a teardrop made out of ice. And inside that teardrop was one piece of sushi or one piece of uni that, of course, my wife wouldn't eat because it was squiggly and all that stuff, you know. Or you die first, Will, and then I'll eat it.
Try this puffer fish. You know. Try this lionfish.
Right, yeah, have this blowfish, you know. But the experiences of traveling are enhanced, certainly, with the places, you know, you go to. So, you know, from time to time, people come into L.A. or even now Ojai or this region, and they say, where should I go? And that then gets them to another area. For instance, there's a place I love in Ojai called The Summit, and it's in the upper, what's called the upper Ojai area.
You didn't take me to The Summit.
I'll take you there next time we come. You come.
You see how he teased me. He knew he'd get me back.
It's a divey roadside, you know, walk-up window with great burgers and tater tots or fries. Or, you know, it's that kind of a greasy spoon that's a little bit more panache to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the roadside, and it's 10 minutes out of the Ojai town up in the upper Ojai. There's another area of Ojai, which is another valley that's more elevated. You got to go up what's called Denison Grade.
Maybe you did. Is it across from an orange grove and it's red?
Well, there's a lot of orange groves.
Oh, I know. I was gonna say, that's not going to help you at all, is it, in Ojai?
It's red.
Okay, you did take me. We got a picture there together.
You know, right?
Oh, he did. I told you he took me everywhere.
I mean, it's not that I'm Guy Fieri, because that guy does a great job of exploring. But, you know, I like to know what's going on in a given area, and I've been very fortunate over the years. I came to LA actually from San Francisco to pursue an acting and producing life, and in order to do that, I got into real estate rather than waiting on tables. Well, in 1980, and now I'm going to date myself, so if anybody wants to do the math, they can figure it out. I was 30 years old, and the interest rates in the market went to 14% because of the hostage crisis. This is before you were born, Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, you know, Richard was alive.
Thank you for...
So I know that.
Thank you
He's
for lying about...
Since that time. You know, so that's how that goes. But in essence, in 1980, hostage crisis, 14% interest rates. Now what the F am I going to do? And I decided that maybe commercial real estate rather than residential real estate to support my acting and producing life would be better. And I didn't have any clients at the time, but I had gotten wind that there was a little-known chef at a restaurant that was pretty well-known at the time called Ma Maison, and his name, this chef, was Wolfgang Puck. I got wind that Wolfgang Puck was looking to open up his own joint. Well, some months later, I found that spot, and that became Spago. And that was Wolfgang Puck's very first venture.
Such an interesting spot. If you'd been there, if you'd visited, it's not there any longer.
It's not there any longer, but it was up on the hill
recently
in West Hollywood, next to Tower Records.
It was such. Yeah, it was like.
You entered a
I remember
side
driving
street on
up.
It was like Horn Avenue.
Yeah.
And you literally were right off Sunset Boulevard, right in the middle of rock and roll. And it's 1981 when he opens. And it was a hit from the get-go. And I was very fortunate to see that from the beginning. And that got me started in restaurant-oriented real estate.
I just put this together in my head, but it reminds me now that I think about it of Alice Waters' restaurant. How it's perched up on almost
Chez Panisse,
up on the hill a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Did Wolfgang Puck at that time work with her? Or I know they have
no
sense, but
many who work with Wolf had worked at Chez Panisse or later went on to work with Chez Panisse. Mm-hmm. That little world is very little, very selective, but people like Nancy Silverton, Mark Peel, there's a lot of alums, you know, from the world of Suzanne Goyne, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people came out of that, quote, tribe or that school, if you will. Right. And, you know, they spawned a lot of people, not imitators.
Many of them.
You know,
you've found this niche that with these wonderful chefs and restaurateurs where you found them, their properties, their famous restaurants, their the buildings that these chefs have created that we've all enjoyed from around the world. Well, you've Mr. Restaurant here in studio. You found those, right?
You're kind.
You did. Am I? We do have to take a break, but we.
Oh,
during the break.
Mm-hmm. I got a break?
Mm-hmm. We got to take a small break.
Bye-bye.
But you got to be tired from all this world touring and name dropping.
I'm just getting started.
Just getting started. Mr. Restaurant is on the show today with us this hour. We're going to talk about what we can expect from Mr. Restaurant. Now, if you listen to the show, you know that we have under a handful of really great commentators from various areas that I'm interested in, and apparently
you're a cultural hound.
Yeah, you know, we cover pop culture, we cover the music icons, and we cover food gods, and we have one such food god here in our studio today.
Oh,
Mr. Will Knox, you think this water is looks like water, but it's I don't know. The studio stocks. I don't know, what are you guys stocking around here?
That's
Dr.
Right.
D, the Knox Company. Check it out. Check out more about Mr. Restaurant, Mr. Will Knox at thenoxcompany.com. You can contact Will Knox at will@thenoxcompany.com. It's K-N-O-X. We'll be right back after this quick break. Can't wait to get back and talk to Mr. Restaurant.
Hi there, everybody. This is Ann Hitch, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. We are Ann
and Heather,
and we are better together.
Wisconsin Pines collaborating with the Dangler Vibes. You're now touristic made a travel guide. It's chill, but Lord knows you're trying. Zombie kids love to hear the easy going shit. Brad, her guitar and just moaning shit. It's cool, but Lord knows you're trying.
My name's Danny Trejo, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. And on it, I'm talking about my cookbook, Awesome. I got a documentary coming out, a record called Satisfy My Soul. Check it out. Trejo's music, Jeremiah, you're loved, Holmes.
The Jeremiah Show, your show to hear the best new music and exclusive artist interviews. You won't hear personal interviews like these anywhere else.
Hi, this is Johnny Valenti. I'm the owner of Birdland Jazz Club in New York City. For nearly four decades, going dark during the global pandemic taught me how important the arts, especially music, are to each of our cultures and our health. Musicians literally bring life and joy to our daily lives. Radio shows that support musicians and music, like The Jeremiah Show, are so important in keeping music alive. I hope that you will keep listening and supporting musicians. Please support the music. And please come and visit me at Birdland when you're in New York City. Thank you.
Today we have a special treat for our listeners, for everybody out there. We're talking with the founder of the Knox Company, Will Knox. He is Mr. Restaurant. He's a restaurant broker, consultant, specializes in the restaurant business and concept development matters. You can find out more at the knoxcompany.com. So check out his website. Really great website. I got to give a real quick plug for your wife, Wendy. And she designed that website. I just love it. I'm going to have to borrow from it.
Wendy at WendyKnox.com.
Yeah, there you go. You talked a little bit about how you fell in love, Mr. Restaurant, with the restaurant business from a young age. And I remember my dad was a carpenter. So he was always chasing one job to the next, right? And the seasons. And we moved around a lot. I went to 11 schools in 12 years. But I do remember on payday, he would take us out to dinner. And it was such an experience because we didn't have a lot. And wherever we went, even if it was the Sizzler or if it was, it doesn't matter where it was a special occasion. And it really imprinted on me how restaurants have become or are a part of all of our lives that we feel pleasure in. You know, we're eating, we're drinking, we're laughing, we're with family. And from a young age, it was also, it exposed this whole different life, this excitement to me, you know, watching everybody running around and all the tables full and the food and
just
knowing, knowing that we didn't probably couldn't afford it, but we went out as a family and did that together. And that's
special occasions. And, you know, the restaurant business is changing, of course, as we speak, with the advent of the pandemic and how people are going out and experiencing, and labor is difficult. We can get into that later. Mm-hmm. But ostensibly, it's all about the
supply
experience
chain right now,
you know? Yeah. And certainly the supply chain is a major effect on the operations, but
what is that?
I've always viscerally, very passionately been about the concept, mm-hmm. and the food and the execution, the hospitality part of it. You know, you can go to a just piece of crap, you know, little spot in Podunk and have a great experience because the people are nice, they deliver on the value, and the environment is just something that you wouldn't ordinarily get at home. Otherwise, don't go out to eat because you can make it at home and mm-hmm. probably just as well, if not better, if you take the time.
So what is Mr. Restaurant, Will Knox? What is your definition of why the restaurant business is so ingrained and so special in our lives, if you could sum it up from your perspective?
Well, you know, before the pandemic, people were going to movies, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And they would literally just love being in a theater with other people. Sometimes you go to a movie and there's three people in the theater. It's kind of a depressing experience, even though it's maybe Lawrence of Arabia, which is one of my favorite films. But sharing and feeling the emotion of other people in a captive environment, the buzz. You know, I don't like going to a restaurant when there's no buzz. I mean, if I'm just one of three people, it can still be a fabulous restaurant, but the energy of having other people experience it, like next week, I'm going into a restaurant I'm going to see for the first time that's just going to open in the next couple of days in LA, and I'm actually quite fascinated by it. It's a restaurant called Katin, Katen. And Katin is operated by you'd call him a celebrity chef who I know of, but I don't know. His name is Wes Avila, and he has a concept in L.A. that's been very popular called Gorilla Tacos.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that interests me because this is actually, from what I read, a huge restaurant, and it's about 5,000 feet. All outdoors, which is great for the COVID world. And the setting is meant to be the Yucatan meets LA meets Mexico in general. So I'm going to take my son, 26 years old, very hip guy, a lot of tats, you know, my wife, who's somewhat selective in what she puts in her belly, and myself, who really just wants to see the scene, to check this new spot out because it was written up and it captivated me, and I'm going to be in LA. And I just thought, you know, I want to see this joint and see really, you know, if it's really humming. And my guess is it probably will be, not just because it's the first few days, but because it's an interesting design element, mixing with the food element, mixing with the culinary element. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that gets me excited.
You know, you opened a, I'm not going to mention the name of the restaurant, but you opened a, helped to open a restaurant here in Santa Barbara. And we went to a couple of the meals, and they served, we ordered shrimp, a shrimp cocktail. And my wife was more observant than I was. And she said, don't eat that. I said, why not? She says, because it hasn't been cleaned. Ooh. Still had the vein in there. And it was very disappointing in that respect. And the thing is that I was there when Jeremiah was working with them. And boy, he was just going to town with them, trying to get everything organized and set up and everything. And that's one of the things about a restaurant. You can have someone like Jeremiah come in there and do his thing and give them all the guidance. Just like you see the restaurant Nightmares with Gordon Ramsay.
Yes.
You can do all the right things from your perspective. But if the people aren't listening to you, it's still going to be a disaster.
Oh, it's execution.
Yeah, and that's, it's absolutely. And I got to tell you,
consistency, yeah. Standard.
Consistency, yeah.
And I'm sorry I didn't catch that, Dr. D. I wasn't at the expo window that night, but that's no excuse.
Well, no, no, no. But it's, it wasn't. It's not on you. That's what I'm saying. It isn't on
you. Is the restaurant still in business?
Well, there are a million different ways you can do it right or do it wrong.
Exactly.
And yeah, there's a lot to the business. It's a very exciting, hard, challenging business. But when you get it right, and you get that buzz and everything goes off right.
Well, I can tell you that from an experience very early on with Peter Morton, who founded the Hard Rock Cafe, where I really got my stripes. I was able to sit with him many times, and he would nicely but firmly make sure those fries were just the right consistency. And I would see him hand those fries back, or the watermelon barbecue sauce, hand that back because it's just not tart enough. So if you're paying attention, and to this day, if you go into a Wolfgang Puck restaurant, you're seeing Wolfgang Puck work that restaurant still. He is not retired. He works his own spot, and he cares. And that execution is the difference.
That's why I disagree with the question that was asked of someone who wanted to start a restaurant, and this was before you had come along. The question was asked, you know, why do you want to start a restaurant? And they'd give them, oh, the food, this, that, and the other. And the person responded, no, you're wrong. You go open a restaurant to make money. And I'm going, wait a minute, that makes no sense. And what you just said, Will,
do what you love and the money will follow.
That's it, right there. That's it, right there, yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah, and in the restaurant business, if you make any money, it's just a happy coincidence.
It really is.
It's like owning a boat.
Unless you call Will Knox or myself, and we'll help you get it right. When we come back, I want to talk about these amazing, these incredible chefs that we all know that are almost family names if you're into food, that you've helped out. Will, and you know, you gotta wonder, the chef has the talent, the restaurant owner, the staff, all this stuff comes together, all the million little things come together to make an experience and make a restaurant, put it on the map.
You got it.
But location.
Bottom line.
Yeah. And you gotta wonder what factor that plays, and I think it's a pretty big one in the overall success in these institutional restaurants. So we'll talk about that with Mr. Restaurant when we come back from the short break.
This is the Daniel Emmett Show. I've stolen this moment from our host, Jeremiah. He's asked me to give you the title of the song, Che vuole questa musica stasera? And that is a song that I fell in love with when I heard it for the first time, used in the soundtrack of the movie The Man from U.N.C.L.E. back, I believe it was in the mid-2010s, and just had to record it, and it is going to be a part of my upcoming album releasing later this year.
Hello, This is Miles Copeland. Yeah, I just had the honor of speaking to the Jeremiah Show. Who would have believed that little old me would have the opportunity to speak on such a prestigious show? And they even talked about my book, my memoir, Two Steps Forward, One Step Back, My Life in the Music Business. So it was a great pleasure to be on that show, The Jeremiah Show.
The Jeremiah Show, the only place to hear the Mike Gormley host interview series, bringing you iconic music business managers, musicians, and the players who have created your favorite music from 1960 to the 2000s. Find all of Mike's past interviews in the Jeremiah Show music catalog on thejeremiahshow.com or your favorite podcast sites.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. Mr. Restaurant is in the studio. We are honored to have Will Knox with us today. He's a restaurant broker, a restaurant consultant. He is a restaurant expert, I'd call you that. I don't know if you want to take
you
the title.
You drink a lot, man. I'm telling you.
But it's only water.
Yeah. What if we were to... Could we convert this radio station into a radio station motif
pop-up
restaurant? I mean, would that not be cool?
It'd be cool to eat while we're doing a show. It might not sound that great in your ear, but...
Yeah, I think that would
be an
interesting idea to do a diner, you know, / radio format,
yeah,
you know, show, and people could record
be
their
fun
own
to promote
shows, and, you know, there we go. That's concept development. That's,
so,
is that what that is?
That's what you come to me for.
Ah.
Yes, and...
Let's do it.
Mr. Restaurant is joining us. I can't tell you how happy I am after all the years of talking about this as coming on as a host.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to
the
it.
Show. So you'll hear more from Mr. Restaurant, and we're going to talk about that in the next segment. Let me follow up with the question I left you before the break, which was Suzanne Goen, Wolfgang Puck,
Nancy Silverton.
Name a couple more. Name drop here.
You know,
name dropping with Jeremiah.
Newly departed Mark Peel. I've been also with guys that have not necessarily been chefs, but been operators. Bob Spivak, for instance, who created the grill concepts, the grill on the alley, the daily grill, public school.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Nicola, who operated Nick's in Beverly Hills for many, many years, now operates a spot up in Ojai called Ojai Roti. You know, I was blessed to meet Adam Perry Lang, who's probably one of the top meat chefs, culinary wizards, David Lentz, who happens to be married to Suzanne Goen, who is a wonderful seafood master. I've just been blessed over the years to meet different people, Celestino Drago and his family I've worked with. And, you know, again, I don't want to boast that, you know, but I've been fortunate with operators as well as the chefs.
You have been fortunate, but what is the secret, Will, that it's not by accident, these names, some of the best names in the culinary world seek you out, for you to seek out for them the location.
Well, the real
that they put their name on
is a
so important
business. There's no question about it. Restaurant real estate is unique, and I don't do the Taco Bells of the world. I have been, again, fortunate to deal with upscale independent operators, and here I started out with this little-known chef, Wolfgang Puck, and then I, you know, segued shortly thereafter to work with Peter Morton, who's a, you know, just a great operator himself, got to know certain developers through that process, got to know the process of finding a larger space, might be 7,000 square feet for a Hard Rock or a smaller space for just a
little. But why do they choose you? What do you...
Oh, I'm fun. No.
And you've created this.
Right.
You found these institutions in a way, right?
Yes. And it evolved, you know, over time. My acting and producing career that I came to love and brought me to L.A., you know, something had to give when I finally got married and I jettisoned my acting career. And that was fine for what I was doing at that period of my life. And what started happening was the traction of the restaurant real estate came about because people were getting confidence or they had heard or maybe referred to me by someone else who had confidence that, you know, I intuitively, and there's a certain intangible here. You know, you can go through all the demographics and say there are 400,000 cars a day or, you know, 200 people walking down the street, or you can look at the demographics of who's living nearby and all of that. But at the end of the day, there's an intuitive feeling that you have that Jeremiah's Restaurant is going to succeed because there's no other radio concept restaurant in this area. Or there may be three, but like Carl's Jr. goes up against McDonald's right down the street, or Starbucks has Pete's. It's a certain intuitive feeling that your concept will succeed, and you can throw all the analytics out the window. I mean, I'm not saying I don't rely on analytics. I do. But there's also a gut check and a gut feeling. And you just have to kind of go on that at the end of the day that, you know, would my concept succeed here? And, you know, you look at a site and you might say it's a $2 million site or it's a $4 million site. And, you know, if you're generating $1.7 million in sales and you can make a success out of that, and let's just call it 15% of the bottom line, well, that's pretty good return on $1.7 million. Well, maybe you can't work on $1.7 million. You really have to have a bigger spot. So you need 3,000 square feet in order to do what you do, and you want to do $1,000 a square foot, which is maybe $3 million at the end of the year. That's how you can be successful. The one group more than any other that I have felt over the years has been incredibly successful for picking locations relative to their concepts is a group in Chicago called Let Us Entertain You. And Rich Melman is the king of the hill. Mm-hmm. And years ago, I had created a quick service concept called World Links. And we, my partner and I, were attempting to take over the little known hot dog and sausage world as others were attacking pizza and burgers. And that higher rung of the food chain, we went to the lowest rung possible. And we wanted to brand, you know, the hot dog and sausage. And we opened in Century City in Los Angeles. And I remember meeting Rich Melman one day, who was very, very complimentary, and that really, you know, was very, very awe-inspiring for me, because a guy like that saying, you took 170 square feet and now you're going to roll this thing out and it looks like it's been here for years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we concepted it just right and we were validated, but he validated the location. And at the end of the day, it's all about location.
And your gut. From Mr. Restaurant Will Knox.
Trust your gut.
And
anything.
I got to say, this is a compliment. You got a good gut. Because you picked some really some jewels out there. Some real jewels in the restaurant. Luke's, Spago, Border Grill, Moza, Nick's in Beverly Hills, AOC, Hard Rock Cafe, Morton Steakhouse. And the list goes on. You got to check out more at thenoxcompany.com. I'm telling you, Mr. Restaurant's a fascinating man, and he works with the best people in the business. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about your new show here via the Jeremiah Show as host. Mr. Restaurant will be bringing us some great, interesting interviews and locations from around the world that he's worked on, or that he knows people that you know and that you're interested in,
I'm
in the business that are up and coming.
At the moment.
You're concepting. We're going to talk all about that when we come back. Stay with us.
Hey, everybody. I'm Art Alex Hux from the band Everclear, and we're going to be on tour this summer on the Summerland Tour 2021 with Everclear, Living Color, Hoobastank, and Weedus. Hope to see you guys out there. Take care.
Here, make sure you find me on Spotify, where you can find all of my latest music, and make sure you tune in to The Jeremiah Show.
Check out The Jeremiah Show Facebook and YouTube pages for exclusive videos of our Jeremiah Show guest interviews.
To Jeremiah on the Jeremiah Show.
For this one, Will. But we have Will Knox here, Mr. Restaurant. I'm going to give out his website again, The Knox Company, K-N-O-X, company.com. Contact Will at thenoxcompany.com. He'd love to hear ideas for his new
or
show.
Email me directly at will@thenoxcompany.com. Or you can even call me. I'm accessible after 9 a.m. till 9 p.m.
Till 9:30.
Sometimes you go a little longer. Yeah. Feel free to call me at 310-993-6896. That's 310-993-6896. And we'll take it from there.
Yeah, ideas. You want to hear show ideas.
Oh, I love ideas.
You want to get on your
concepts.
Show.
Hey, you know, can we do a burger spot in Tuscaloosa? Hey, if you've got the money and you've got the people to operate it, let's do it. That's the way I would go for it.
I still love the idea because we have a bunch of it, of old radio and television equipment set up inside. That would be the motif for that restaurant. And then, of course, doing their
mic at the table. Actually, that's not a bad idea. Mics at the table, and everybody gets to record their own little podcast. Wouldn't that be kind of cool, actually?
Okay.
So let's talk about...
You've got the money, and you've got somebody to operate it, then we'll talk.
Jeremiah?
You know, if you want to talk... Will, giving out your phone number there, your email address... To the listeners around the world in almost every country right now we're in.
That's what's so phenomenal about what we're doing.
Yeah, it's so cool. And I know, and I hear from a lot of them, especially from outside the United States, if you ever wanted to talk to a real cool guy and a pro in the business that's worked with all of your favorite celebrity chefs, that's you, Will Knox. Oh. And you've got ideas still. You can take a box and turn it into an icon.
Well, you're again very, very very kind. It collaborates. It's about collaboration. Okay. I collaborate. All right. It's not about
your
just gut. Will.
It's your, but you know what, by the way, for the compliments, they're all true. And I know you're a humble guy and you're being modest right now. But as my grandfather used to tell me with a compliment, just say thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Let's not waste any time. I want to talk about what we can expect from, first of all, Mr. Restaurant. What can we expect? As a host, what do you envision for your show?
I, years ago, was inspired by Charlie Rose. Some people would say Charlie Rose. I love Charlie Rose because he would always do these one-on-one, very in-depth interviews. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, no one's doing this relative to the business of restaurants. They're doing it relative to the food and some of their aspects of it. But I'm the guy who's more front of the house interested, conceptually interested, what makes a restaurant tick, whether it's design, whether it's, you know, the food, of course, the mechanics of the deal. I'm a deal guy. And so that's what's kind of led me to you and getting involved with you to be your correspondent, your roving correspondent. And because of the advent of Zoom and or, you know, just radio itself, we can go anywhere in the world and hook up with somebody in Dubai. For instance, a client of mine, Celestino Drago, is on his way as we speak to Dubai to open up Il Pastaio in Dubai. You know, so, you know, what's to stop us from interviewing Celestino in Dubai, you know, and let's talk about, you know, Il Pastaio and the origin of that and getting, you know, the listening audience more involved with the rudiments of the business of restaurants. It's all very superficial when you go in there and you eat and you see it on maybe a, you know, Gordon Ramsay and all that kind of stuff, you know, the restaurant shows. But I wanted to kind of take it further as to, you know, really getting into the spot. Like one guy I'd like to interview eventually would be Dan Barber at Blue Hill in upstate New York, a good friend of my now deceased Joe Miller worked with Dan, and Dan's out of LA. I've never met Dan, but I've heard a lot about Blue Hill, and a place like that interests me. You know, in
there's a great chef's table on Dan Barber. Have you seen that?
No, I've not.
Oh, you should check it, what he's doing with the farms and for his sourcing for his restaurants. A really
great. I'll check that episode. Out. You know. I have an affinity to Mary Sue Milken and Susan Feniger, the two hot tamales. Mm-hmm. They've been great with me over the years. And, you know, they have a lot to say, so eventually they may come on the show. You know, anybody that has something to say, I'm interested in listening to. Dick. Or should I say Richard?
I was going to say, I have a mean...
He goes by Dr. D.
Richard's like, got something to say.
I have a mean Dorito, bologna,
between
and
9
mustard,
and 9:30.
Hors d'oeuvre.
Ooh.
No?
Ooh. All right, let me leave you with this. I can't wait for the series.
That's gut-wrenching.
In more ways than one. Dorito,
do you put this,
and mustard.
Do you put the 7-Up in the scotch? Do you drink that with your 7-Up and scotch?
I'm a purist.
But see, who is the first person?
Okay. Anyway, this is like Adele. You can't.
Along.
We have 1 minute, right?
I'm sorry.
Refer to episode 316, 325, 350. You'll hear about his scotch and 7-Up.
There you go.
So, can't wait for the series, and I don't want to give too much away, but I want to tease this. Hopefully, you're going to spin this off to your own show.
I can tell you that there's a couple of new openings in the Ojai region, and I want to talk to those guys that are opening up a pizza joint.
Can you say who are you?
Yeah. They've actually opened Pinyon, P-I-N-Y-O-N, and these are two young guys that have taken the wood fire pizza craze and made it their own in Ojai. And upcoming in January is a restaurant called The Duchess by the Rustic Canyon Restaurant Group out of LA, and they're opening up a big spot that's going to be a terrific spot, and it's going to feature Kate's Bread out of Ojai, mm-hmm. as well as they're bringing in a chef who's got Burmese and SoCal roots. So you're going to get a bit of Burma meets Southern California meets a great pastry chef in Kate from the land of Ojai. And, you know, as time goes on, I'm just going to explore those people that titillate me that I think, you know, even Jeremiah would be interested in.
Because I'm interested now.
You've got good taste.
So save your appetite for the Mr. Restaurant Show. You can borrow that if you like. So Will, last question, and then we're going to go. We get hungry on this show, and I love it.
Already? We're done?
We're already done, but this is just the beginning. So this, we wanted to introduce you again to the audience as Mr. Restaurant.
Looking forward.
Cannot wait for you to come in and take the show over, and then eventually spin it off, hopefully, to Mr. Restaurant, because you're not going to be able to get enough of this and his show.
So we'll be
really
doing
great
this
show.
From the purpleness of my grotto. Right?
Yeah. Okay. Wherever you want to, whatever restaurant you are at, or whatever area in the world you are at, Will, whatever's interests you, we will be interested in. And I just want to leave with one last question for you. Before this question, though, when can we expect the first show? I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Oh, man. I would say January.
January. So look for that.
Yeah, look for this in January. We're going to take a little bit of a holiday break.
There you go.
And then probably after about the 15th of January, we'll be back on.
After you digest it.
Yeah, it takes a while to get through that.
The holidays. What must every great restaurant have?
Oh.
Mr. Restaurant.
What must, I think a hat rack.
Okay, tune in January when we bring back Mr. Restaurant. Thank you so much, Will Knox, for joining us today. I told you it goes quick, doesn't it?
Sure does when you're having fun.
Yeah, and we always have fun. TheKnoxCompany.com, K-N-O-X, and founder of The Knox Company. Will is a restaurant broker by day job, right? So if anybody needs you out there.
Yeah, I'm with a little group called Berkshire Hathaway. So contact me if you feel like you want to talk.
Hardly anybody's ever heard of that.
No, who are they? He also specializes in restaurant consulting, so he can answer and help you out, take you down the right track so you do not get sideways at all. It's a tough business, and Will Knox just loves talking restaurants. Mr. Restaurant.
Thank you so much.
See you in January.
Okay. Keep drinking, Jeremiah.
Keep drinking water, just so you all know I'm drinking water. And I'd like you to all remember this. Communicate, but listen more and evolve.
Don't wanna be an actor pretending on a stage. Don't wanna be a writer with my thoughts out on the page. Don't wanna be a painter cause everyone comes to look. Don't wanna be anything where my life's an open book. A dream, it's true, but I see it through. If I could be wasting my time with you.
You've been listening to The Jeremiah Show. I am Miles Zuniga from Fastball, and you can find me every Tuesday at 7 p.m. at facebook.com/MilesZunigaLovesYou. I do a live stream. I'd love to see you there. Thank you.
Hi, this is comedian Maz Jobrani, and you are listening to The Jeremiah Show on AM 1290 KZSB Santa Barbara. Listen, man.
Do you need help with your restaurant or hospitality business? See how we can help your business at hjlrestaurantadvisors.com. Check out our website at thejeremiahshow.com. We are on SoundCloud. Please subscribe on iTunes, podcast The Jeremiah Show. Did you like our soundtrack? Find all of our soundtracks on Spotify, The Jeremiah Show. As always, a big thanks to Dr. D for making our voices come alive on the airwaves, and to our station manager, Les Carroll, for letting us on the airwaves at all. Be sure to check out our very own Richard Dr. D. Dugan's Peabody Award-nominated radio show, Tell Me Your Story, every Sunday at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. Thank you for listening to The Jeremiah Show with Dr. D. Listeners, we appreciate you and want to hear from you. Please send us your ideas at thejeremiahshow.com. Follow us on Instagram at The Real Jeremiah Show. The Jeremiah Show is produced by executive producer Jeremiah Higgins and sound engineer Richard Dr. D. Dugan. Have a great rest of your week, everyone. Communicate. Listen more. Evolve.
They were beautiful. The most beautiful.